Yo, what's up everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yes, the series where we are counting down 24 days to Christmas with a bunch of Christmas movies. Some that we like, some that we don't. Yes, of course, it is me, Jonathan, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Salutations, everyone.
So on this episode, we'll be taking a look at 1989's Christmas comedy, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, directed by Jeremiah Chichik.
Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
After vacationing across America and throughout Europe,
take it, Russ.
This holiday season, the Griswolds are going to play it safe.
Clark, we're stuck under a truck.
Oops. They're staying at home.
I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Hope you're not getting sap all over your sweater, Clark.
All Clark wants is a quiet, old-fashioned Christmas.
Sorry. Oop. Got a little knot here. You can work on that.
What he's going to get is the gift that keeps on living.
Merry Christmas.
His family.
We didn't come to impose.
Oh, hell, there's plenty of room.
Do you sleep with your brother? Do you know how sick and twisted that is, Mom?
Well, I'm sleeping with your father.
Have you got a kiss for me?
You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got lip fungus they ain't identified yet.
But no holiday could ever be more deeply touching.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
We're really gonna fly down the hill with this stuff.
So genuinely moving.
Can I refill your eggnog for you?
Drive you out to the middle of nowhere, leave you for dead?
More truly uplifting.
Can I show you something?
I was just browsing.
Or more down to earth.
Merry Christmas!
If Santa is smart, he'll stay well clear of this joint. It's a death trap.
Then Christmas with the Griswolds.
Everybody come out quick, look at the lights!
They want you to say grace.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. The United States of America.
This year, let Chevy Chase light up your holidays. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That thing had 9 lives. She just spent them all.
You
woo!
Crack up.
So, yeah, this is a film dear to me. It's one of mine from the list. This is a Christmas film I watch every year without fail, and I have done probably for at least the last 10 years, maybe longer. And yeah, I probably will still continue to watch it. I'm not saying it's a brilliant film, but yeah, I still quite like it. I know that there's people out there that probably don't like the National Lampoon series of films. There's a bunch of them. I think it started in the 70s with Animal House, if I remember rightly, which is actually quite a funny film. And then you've got a run of these vacation films that started in the early 80s, and I'd actually quite like all of them, well, all the 80s. I think there's 3 in the 80s, this one rounding it out with a festive tradition. I fairly enjoyed it, I'm not going to lie. Not saying it's a great movie, but it's got a special bit of nostalgia for me. This is where Kenzie shits on the film.
It's all right. Like it's decent. Like that's how I kind of feel about it. Like I enjoyed my time of it, I guess. But like I wasn't that into it. I don't find the film very funny. A lot of it is slapstick, which I usually do like slapstick, so I don't mind slapstick, then again. This film, so it's got quite a lot of I say slapstick. Slapstick's probably maybe the wrong word for it, but it's like a lot of like falling over and stuff like that. Kind of things like that. or get smacked in the face by like a million different things. I want to know how he pulled down the loft thing and got hit in the face with a ladder. Surely he was expecting that, right? That was not the first time he opened his loft, but like, never mind. No, I think it was alright. That's all I'll say about it. It's a kind of funnish Christmas film.
Yeah, I suppose I can understand maybe why somebody of your age might not like it as much as me. I think comedy's evolved. I think this is probably a film, because of its release date, it's quite maybe dated more than maybe other 80s films. I don't know. It's just films that seem to come out like 89, like the tail end of the year. Everything was kind of moving and different ways and changing very, very quickly. I still like it. I mean, do I find it like super funny? Not really. But it has its moments. The film was written by John Hughes, famous 80s movie director, directed films such as The Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But the story's based on a short story, Christmas 59, that was published in National Lampoon. And obviously it's just been developed into a narrative. I think the problem with this film is there's not a lot happens. It's kind of based around the family home. Do you know what I will say? There's a lot of similarities. Maybe similarities is the wrong word. There's a lot of things that are quite similar, well, say similarities. I don't even know where I'm going. I'll say similarities. Christmas with the Cranks is what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Is because of the setting, it doesn't really move. There's a workplace, there's a family home, there's like loads of people. This is a family more than a community, but it still kind of works in the same way. And you've got people that Chevy Chase's character, Clark Griswold, doesn't want to be around. I think mainly Randy Quaid's character Eddie, he just arrives unannounced. I think he just starts talking to him, and eventually he's like, how the fuck's he here? It kind of comes through at the time. It's based around Clark wanting to have this over the top family Christmas, which starts being over the top from minute one, because he takes his family on a car journey into the middle of nowhere to cut down his own Christmas tree, which is about 40 feet high.
Yep. He almost dies in the way as well, driving under a truck. Doesn't notice that there's a truck next to him, and it's like goes under it. Yeah, that was interesting.
See, this is the problem. Like, silly humour like that is funny, like, to me, still.
I can like it sometimes. I just don't think it's that funny in this film. I think I've seen better iterations. It's alright. Like, I mean, yeah, it's harmless, really. It's like, it's not bad by any means.
No, it's not a terrible film. And like all 80s movies, I mean, things have aged. I mean, this one hasn't aged terribly. I mean, obviously things have been digitised now, but in terms, there's not any over-the-top effects or anything used at all, really, so it still looks quite good. There's a couple of moments, well, one in particular that kind of harks to 80s horror franchise, when his garage opens and he comes out with the Jason mask and the chainsaw. It's like a merging of two slasher movies in one, Clark Griswold's performance. He looks awful menacing when he's got the chainsaw, though, which is quite alarming for
a family. The character always looks menacing. He's insane. I'm convinced that he's insane.
Do you like Chevy Chase?
I had only ever seen him in Community, and I liked him a lot in Community.
He's good. I like Chevy Chase. He is actually really good.
Sadly, he is a bit racist, apparently, but...
That's unfortunate.
I've liked the stuff that I've seen him in.
So I'm pretty sure this is like, so the Vacation franchise, like National Lampoon's, is its own thing. Like I said, publications, number of films with the same sort of National Lampoon's X, Y, and Z.
Is this the best of the National Lampoon films?
No. No.
No?
Not in, nah.
What's the best one then?
What is the best National Lampoon's movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
The first one's the highest rated, I think.
Would you mean National Lampoon? Do you mean like vacation film?
Vacation
films, National
yeah.
Oh, right. I see. You never worded that right. Because National Lampoon's has got things like Animal House, which is a great film.
Right.
And it's got a... like just an amazing performance by John Belushi, the late great John Belushi. Do you know who John Belushi is? You ever seen Blues Brothers?
No, but I know who John Belushi is.
Yeah, he was an incredible comedian. So he's in Animal House, which is probably my favourite National Lampoon's film. In terms of vacation films, I like the first one.
It's quite highly rated.
Followed probably by this one, I would say is probably my second favourite. European Vacation's probably third, and then Vegas Vacation came some time after. It's quite silly, but it is what it is. I remember watching it in the 90s as a youngster. I think the thing about this is it's quite tame comedy, so you can watch it as a child and there's nothing mental happening, you know, like, so you can find the jokes funny, and there's kids involved as well. It's like one thing about this film series is the kids seem to swap out quite a lot in this iteration of Vacation. It is Juliette Lewis and Johnny Galecki. You'll probably know Juliette Lewis from Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
And Johnny Galecki plays Leonard in The Big Bang Theory. It's probably his biggest role. He was Russ. The characters stay the same. They've got the same name. The actresses change because they probably age out. Do you know? If it's 2 or 3 years later they do a film, they've got 2 or 3 years older. Because Russ, played by Johnny Galecki in this film, was originally played by Anthony Michael Hall in the first Vacation movie. But Anthony Michael Hall maybe just aged out the part, you know, because I think the first one was
83,
yeah. And then he was in Breakfast Club, things like that. So he probably just aged out the part, or maybe he became more famous and went on to other things. But yeah, it's... I find that strange. You're seeing the same characters, but I suppose when you've got kids that grow up, people age out. But Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo have stayed the main stays as the Clark and Ellen. This film isn't necessarily technically astounding or anything daft like that. It's just quite a nice, easy watch, you know. It's basically about Clark kind of going more and more. I think the pressure of what he's trying to achieve is building and building and building, and eventually the tipping point is he doesn't get his Christmas bonus, and he's put down a $7,500 deposit for a swimming pool, and then that's it. It just kind of goes over the top, and it just kind of goes a bit mental then. Now thinking about it, it does kind of remind me a lot of Christmas with the Cranks. But obviously this came much fucking way before Christmas with the Cranks, so.
This is also better than Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh yeah, 100% this is a better film. It's just, it's quite weird when you watch these films in such close proximity, you can start to see similarities, which is maybe not necessarily the right word, but at this moment in time I can't think of a better one.
The poster for this film, right? I remember seeing this when I was a kid. I just never knew what film it was from. It's one thing I noticed. It's quite a memorable poster.
I quite like the poster. I would maybe have that poster. I think it's quite cool. Does he ever get electrocuted?
I don't think so. The cat does. poor cat. Also, poor neighbours. Those neighbours get kind of fucked over a lot.
They seem like fucking dicks, though.
It took me so long to realise who the lassie was. I knew I recognised her. She's the woman in Seinfeld.
Is she?
Yeah, I knew I recognised her, but I was like, why do I recognise her? Yeah, because my brother's been watching for Seinfeld. She's whatever her name is in Seinfeld. I really can't remember what. I never really watched Seinfeld. I just saw bits of it. I just knew I recognised her.
Oh, is that Julia Louise Dreyfus? Is that her?
That might be, yeah.
Yeah, it is. She's been on other things. She's in Veep as well.
Yeah, I saw that when I looked her up, yeah.
See. Because I know who she is, but I didn't recognise that it was her when I watched this film. That's strange. She's a good actress. I like her. It's amazing who you pick out. I suppose it's quite sad to say, but this film really does live and die in Clark Chevy Chase. He gets all the screen time. I think he's in like pretty much every scene, if not, he's probably in like 80% of the frames of this movie.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing considering we've just done a podcast on Love Actually and we moaned about there not being a distinct main character. So I suppose this is better that way in terms of you know exactly who everybody is and it's just not a super deep narrative, I suppose. It's pretty simple and sort of laid out very sort of linearly and you know what these kind of National Lampoon's films do. You know, they think they just amp the tension or the comedy over a period of time and then eventually it kind of builds to a point where it kind of explodes. I'm not saying it's like a barrel of laughs or anything like that, but I do still really like this film, you know. I can't quite put my finger on why I like it so much.
Just maybe things that you watched when you were younger as well. And it's nostalgia will play a bit of it as well.
I suppose. I don't really delve into the world of Christmas films because a lot of them are very mundane. Like a lot of Christmas films just go on a straight line. Like that, and they're made for that. Like they're made to suit all audiences. You know, I don't feel like there's anybody taking chances or risk. You know, I mean, like when this podcast is released on this, Claws will have already been out, and if you've listened to that podcast, you'll know that it's probably it's easily going to be the best film that we watch. Well, maybe, I don't know, like it really depends on a couple of others coming up. There's maybe two or three that could be up there. Will they get to 5 out of 5? Not really sure. There's a couple of big hitters coming, and we'll see how that develops. But yeah, Claws is really, really different because I feel as though like films like this or, you know, try to think of, like, I mean, Christmas Vacation is like an awful film. A terrible example. Like Elf, for instance. Elf's been built up to be like one of the best Christmas films ever. I just feel like it goes at like a flat trajectory because it's not taking huge risk. It doesn't want to offend anybody, and it's just like it's made for the family, and it's like a vehicle made like that, you know. Whereas I feel like Claws, if I'm comparing it, and I know one's animated and one's live action, is like, but what Claws did was develop a new origin story which people could have totally shat on because it's against the grain of what people know and love about Santa Claus. But it was done in a unique way and it sort of had enough of the sort of tropes that you associate that you can, you just get a full understanding of the character and the arc. And that's why that film supersedes anything that we've done so far because it's so unique and so its own thing that is incredibly just captivating when you watch it. On top of that, the animation style that I'm a big fan of, so that's just a win-win. Whereas this, I feel as though the comedy and the humour's not too offensive. You know, it's an 80s film, there probably is jokes about things that might not be written. The jokes would be a bit different now if it was made now, but that's the thing. Like, I feel like with these Christmas films and why I don't watch them enough is I just feel like everything's just not, there's no peaks, there's no gamble, there's no somebody trying to get a 10 out of 10 and make one of the best films ever. They're just, they're using the holiday season as a vehicle to safely make money.
Pretty much, yeah. It's very rare that you get a Christmas film that's just really good.
Do you watch? Do you watch a lot of Christmas films?
No.
But the thing is you really like Christmas as a person.
I quite like Christmas too.
See, I can take it or leave it. I mean, there's a big age gap between us, and I'm not necessarily saying that that's the only thing involved. Do I like it? Yes. I mean, am I that bothered by it? No. Sometimes I just feel as though it's another day. This year, by the time I've finished my work on Christmas Eve, I'm probably not going to be bothered by Christmas at all, because it's just going to be rough. I'll have started my work at 7 o'clock or something on Christmas Eve, and whenever I finish, and I'll probably be just like, I'm tired, and it's just the way life is. But maybe not. Maybe I'll have a bit more energy then, and feel a bit better. But what's your opinions of Christmas films? Are they the same as mine, or do you feel like there is some that do go out their way to try and be something? Some might have failed, but obviously some like Claus have went on and had massive success.
I don't know. I just feel like for the most part, most Christmas films are inoffensive and just kind of are all right films. What I really feel with Christmas films is everyone's got a Christmas film that's theirs that they like. But for the most part, as films themselves, most of them are not that good. Like, some people are like you are a fan of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Some people are a huge fan of films like Home Alone. Some, of course, the Elf fans out there. Well, that's the reason why it's on TV every Christmas, all of the time. And then you've got the Die Hard fans who like that kind of different
style of Christmas film.
The film that a lot of people don't even see as a Christmas film, but they'll stand by it. Those fans do stand by that. 100%. So yeah, it's just everyone's got their own Christmas film. Some people watch films at Christmas that are not even Christmas films, which is weird, but that's their Christmas. It's all to do with just what puts them in the right mood for it, I guess. But for the most part, most of the Christmas films are at least passable. You sometimes get some worse ones and you get some better ones. I think so far the best Christmas film I've seen is probably Claus. I only just saw that recently. And I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever watch another Christmas film that will top that for me at the moment. Or even come near it, to be honest. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as though there's a couple of films that could get quite high marks coming up. Is it safe to say what they'll be? Gives a bit of a tease. Probably not. Them. Well, we could. We do have Die Hard coming up, and I feel as though that has maybe got the potential for one of us to give it an incredibly high rating.
Yeah.
The film I am most excited about watching is a film that I've never seen before. And people of a certain age who I've told about the podcast and the films that we're doing and the fact that we're doing Christmas films, there's one film that comes out of their mouth, and it's A Wonderful Life. And I've never seen it, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And if it's as good as everybody else thinks it is, it could potentially be another super high score from me. Apart from that, you've got a lot of Christmas films that, people of certain ages, will be looking out for potentially. But those are probably two of the big. And then you've got my favourite Christmas film of all time coming up. And I won't tell you what that is. You'll find out very soon, though. I think there is a couple more. Will they get to Claus? I'm not so sure. I think Claus has just blown us away. I think what happened in the Halloween special has happened again in the Christmas special, where we've both watched the film for the first time and went, this is spectacular. the black phone being that during Halloween. It never quite got to a five, but it was damn close. And maybe in years to come, it could be edged up. But it's strange, yeah. Like we've said, Christmas films are kind of made just to be unoffensive. Looking at, do you know, so this film was released on December 1st, 1989, which is might be the first film we've done. I haven't been keeping track, but most of the films we've done don't seem to be released in December. They're either like November or June, you know, like fucking, what is Gremlins? That was June. Fuck me. I've no idea why. But apparently, this was one of only two Christmas films released in 1989.
Really?
Yep, the other one was John Hancock's Prancer, and it also starred Johnny Galecki. So he was in both Christmas-themed movies of 1989. This is the thing that I wasn't quite sure about, but now reading about it, it's true. So in Vacation, and European Vacation, Rusty is kind of made out to be the older sibling. But in this film, you can clearly see that it's switched. And that's quite strange. There's no cohesion, continuity. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if it really matters, but... Does it really matter? Yeah, that's what I would say.
But it's quite strange.
It's weird, but like at the same point, like it's not. I don't see anyone complaining about that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I don't know. It's a strange one. Legendary film critic Roger Ebert did not love the movie. A 2-star review, which is 50% for him, but it doesn't feel like a Roger Ebert kind of movie for me. It's a strange one. That's another thing. The budget in this film was $27 million, right? Which is a lot of money considering it had no effects at all.
Huh.
No special effects.
That's weird. That's quite a lot, isn't it?
That's quite a lot for 1989 and for it not to have any form of visual or special effects. Strange. We've mentioned the John Hughes connection. There's also another person that's been brought up on multiple Christmas podcasts already. It is AKA the one and only Mr. Chris Columbus, who was initially meant to direct this movie.
He really does love those Christmas films, doesn't he?
But I think what happened is, I don't know what happened really, but he eventually didn't, and Jeremiah Chechik came in. But a year later, you would get the release of another Chris Columbus Christmas vehicle, Home Alone. And if I am right in saying, I think that was also written by John Hughes. So he kind of gave him another Christmas vehicle. But yeah, it's strange. But Chris Columbus, I don't know. Like, I feel like horror, it's a given that you get directors that pop up a lot because it's like their sphere of filmmaking. Christmas movies is weird. Chris Columbus is, I don't know why he's so enamoured by Christmas, but it's strange that he keeps popping up in these. But yeah, we have spoke for a good 20 or so minutes on Christmas Vacation. I think we've got a feel of where we might go with it, unless you've got anything else to add that you can think of.
I'm happy to go to ratings.
Happy to go to the ratings. Right, there we go. I'll let you go first on this one.
Right, well, I think the film's alright. It's decent-ish. it's a kind of happy kind of Christmas film. I don't think there's anything completely wrong with it. I just don't think it's that good. It's not really for me. I can see why other people would like this film. I just don't really know what to rate it though. Like, because I feel like it's better than average. So what that means, I should probably give it a 3. But I gave Gremlins a 3, and I definitely prefer Gremlins quite a bit more than I do this film. So I don't really know.
Everything's subject to change, though. I mean, you could retroactively bump Gremlins up if you want.
I don't know if I want to, but that's the thing. I don't really think I want to, because I don't mind Gremlins, but I'm not like that into it at the same time. Oh, this is so weird. I'm just saying that I prefer Gremlins to this. I don't really give this the same score as Love Actually, because I really didn't like. That's not. I'm gonna give it a 3. I'm gonna give it a low 3, because it's better than what we just previously done. And I still think Gremlins is a bit better than this. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a low 3. It's all right. It's decent, but it's not really for me.
I think that's fair. I think that people of a certain age will probably prefer this. Kenji's probably a bit too young, and like I said, a film that came out the year I was born. I'm not that old, by the way, even though Kenji was making jokes about it in previous episodes of the podcast. That will give you a hint, or will give you exactly what age I am, there or thereabouts. Anyway, but for me, I've just grown up liking it, and I don't even know why. I mean, I own a copy of this that's in my DVD collection, which is quite extensive, but it's quite a sizable DVD collection. You know, it's about 700 or so. So to have a copy of this, so that's why I've always kind of watched it every Christmas. You know, I have it, I own it, you know, I stick it on, and it's inoffensive. And you know, there's something nostalgic about it for me. I would watch this over Gremlins. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. I'm not going to go stupid. See, anything that gets a 4 and above has to be incredible. This just isn't quite there. But it's still an enjoyable film, and I do like it. And although Chevy Chase isn't necessarily the most reputable person in terms of what he believes and things that he says, I do find him quite funny in these 80s films that he's in. So yeah, 3.5 for me. So yeah, that is it. It's a 3 for Kenzie, 3.5 for me. That is it for another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. We are churning these out, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. It's a bit of a tight schedule this time around, but we are going to make sure that we deliver on the promise. But yeah, you know where to find us by now. We're on all podcast streaming platforms that you use, and that's great. You can find us just by searching Cult Film Cafe. And if you'd like to go and give us a wee follow on social media, that would be great. We are at Cult Film Cafe on both Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, it's been a pleasure talking about a film that I absolutely adore, because it's just so nostalgic to me. So yeah, goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Podcast out.